Agent defensive end Trey Hendrickson to a four-year deal. The deal is worth $112 million. Incentives could push the contract up to $120 million as Hendrickson will get $60 million guaranteed. The Colts and quarterback Daniel Jones agreed to terms on a two-year deal worth $88 million. Colts placed the transition tag on Jones as he tries to return from a torn Achilles suffered last season. Former Bears safety Kevin Byard signing a one-year deal with the Patriots. He led the NFL with seven picks. Former Patriots edge rusher Kalevon Chaisson is signing a one-year deal with the Commanders. Vikings running back Aaron Jones will return to Minnesota in 2026. Syracuse has fired men's basketball coach Adrian Autry after three seasons and zero appearances in the NCAA tournament. NC State top Pitt in the ACC tournament 98-88. Iowa State over Arizona State 91-42 in the Big 12. And Kentucky beat LSU in the SEC 87-82.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, U.S. retail sales of potatoes held steady in 2025, reflecting consistent consumer purchasing patterns across the category. MorningAgClips.com reports total retail sales reached $19.9 billion with 15.3 billion pounds of potatoes sold. That's according to data from Circana. Total volume dipped just 0.5% from the prior year, while dollar sales edged down a modest 0.7%, driven primarily by a 1% decrease in the average consumer price per pound. The National Association of Conservation Districts applauded the USDA's launch of the One Farmer, One File initiative designed to streamline producer interactions across USDA agencies and reduce administrative burdens on farmers and ranchers. NACD President Gary Blair says when application processes are simpler and records are unified, farmers and ranchers can spend less time on paperwork and more time implementing conservation systems that protect soil, water, air, and wildlife. Well, U.S. and United Kingdom ag officials and industry leaders met last week at a Virginia cattle farm to highlight expanding beef trade between the two countries. The gathering comes as the first shipments of U.S. beef under a new U.S.-UK trade agreement reach British markets. The deal, signed last year, expands market access for American beef and follows years of negotiations and industry outreach to British regulators and farm groups.
Rancher Circle, Friday, March 20th at 1 o'clock on your calendar, and plan to be at St. Ange Livestock in South Dakota for the 7th annual Cactus Cattle Company Bull Sale. Offering 53 coming 2-year-old registered bulls born, raised, and developed at the ranch, built for calving ease and real-world functionality. If you're keeping replacement heifers, these are genetics designed to leave daughters you'll want in your herd for years to come. View catalog, watch videos, or bid live at dvauction.com or visit cactuscattleco.com.
It's been popping up in orchards and vineyards all over. Any origin theories, callers?
Oh, hey, yeah, it's Sevia fungicide from BASF, a category leader in disease control.
How do you explain these healthy crops?
Well, longer-lasting residual. Plus, it's built for current regulatory standards and prepared for what's to come, which improves crop marketing flexibility, so...
A fungicide that is out of this world? I knew it. Sevia fungicide from BASF. Or is it... Always read and follow link directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are attempting to hold on to gains in afternoon trading as investors take comfort that oil prices are easing on expectations that the Middle East conflict could come to a sooner than expected end. Tech is the best performer among the 11 S&P 500 sectors, while energy is lagging, and shares of Oracle are down nearly 1%. The software provider is slated to report its latest quarterly results after the bell today. Investors anticipate that the event could lead to a big move in Oracle stock. And shares of Hims & Hers Health are climbing 3%, adding to steep gains from the previous session after Hims unveiled a partnership with Novo Nordisk to sell branded GLP-1 drugs through its online pharmacy. The move ends a long-standing feud between the two companies and has led to a handful of stock upgrades for Hims. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves of what it is we're trying to preserve in this country. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Every once in a while, all of us native-born Americans should make it a point to have a conversation with one who is an American by choice. It can do a lot to strengthen our resolve to be free for another 200 years. In a dinner at Mount Vernon back in Revolutionary times, Lafayette turned to his host and said, "General Washington, you Americans, even in war and desperate times, have a superb spirit. You're happy and you're confident. Why is it?" Washington answered, "There's freedom, there is space for a man to be alone and think, and there are friends who owe each other nothing but affection." So simple an answer and so true. Now, 200 years later, our self-respect as a nation has undergone a strain. At times, it has seemed as if the symbol of American power has become our departing ambassador, flag under his arm, boarding a rescue helicopter. But there's an awful lot of that other America still around. Like beauty, it may be in the eye of the beholder. A few years back, a woman who had fled from Poland wrote a letter and said, "Among some of our American-born friends, it is not fashionable to be enthusiastic about America. There's Vietnam, drugs, urban and racial conflict, poverty and pollution. Undoubtedly, this country faces urgent and serious problems. But we newcomers see not only the problems, but also solutions being sought and applied." She goes on to say, "I love America because people accept me for what I am. They don't question my ancestry, my faith, my political beliefs. When I want to move from one place to another, I don't have to ask permission. When I need a needle, I go into the nearest store and get one. I don't have to stand in line for hours to buy a piece of tough, fat meat. Even with inflation, I don't have to pay a day's earnings for a small chicken. I love America because America trusts me. I don't have to show an identity card to buy a pair of shoes. My mail isn't censored, and my conversations with friends aren't reported to the secret police." Well, on July 5th, the London Daily Mail filled its editorial page with an article by Ferdinand Mount in which he sharply criticized his fellow Britons and other Europeans who delight in lambasting the United States. He said, "What the world needs now is more Americans. The United States is the first nation on earth deliberately dedicated to letting people choose what they want and giving them a chance to get it. For all its terrible faults, in one sense, America still is the last best hope of mankind because it spells out so vividly the kind of happiness which most people actually want, regardless of what they're told they ought to want." He concluded by saying, "We criticize, copy, patronize, idolize, insult, but we never doubt that the United States has a unique position in the history of human hopes. for it is the only nation founded solely on a moral dream. A part of our own future is tied up in it, and the greatest of all the gifts the Americans have given us is hope. Thank you, Mr. Mount. We needed that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall, and we cover the important local issues for San Luis Obispo County. Tomorrow, you need to come in and listen. We are going to be having another Vote Them Off the Island. We're going to have six candidates this time. We're going to have all four candidates that are running for this slow supervisor seat. We're also going to have Tom Foulkes, and we'll have Mayor John Hammond. And you'll have your chance to explain why you want to vote one person off the island. Today, we're going to be talking about a number of things. It's got to do a little bit. We're going to be talking about the proposed rental registry that San Luis Obispo, the city of San Luis Obispo, proposed. We're also going to go in a little bit into inclusionary housing and citizens initiatives. This is a very important thing to understand because, as many of you know, when the citizens do not like what's going on in our community, i.e. the paid parking in Paso Robles, a group of citizens work together to gather signatures. And as many of you know, the city then said you did it wrong. And we're going to be going over the initiative process and how these things go about a little bit. But we're going to start with looking at what is happening with San Luis Obispo. Today I have San Luis Obispo-based attorney Stu Jenkins. And Stu, what are the law, what type of law are you practicing?
Well, right now I am primarily doing estate planning. I've done everything from starting out as a public defender all the way through civil work and quite a few public interest cases over the years. And some of them have involved suing the city of San Luis Obispo, sometimes the county of San Luis Obispo, and sometimes the state of California.
And I have watched your lawsuits against the and often with Attorney Saro Rizzo, and I've watched your lawsuits. And what has amazed me is they generally go into the city and they say, one of them does, is at the meeting and goes, you shouldn't do this because it violates this rule, this law, this law. And then very often the city attorney gets up and goes, they're wrong, I'm right, we can do this, let's move ahead. They move ahead, they sue. I don't think I've ever seen you guys lose.
Well, now, you know, the whole idea of having rule of law involves courtesy. So you have to give a warning to a government agency that's about to do something that's unconstitutional, immoral, or fattening. You know, if the public officials don't take the warning, a lot of people threaten. And, you know, I'm a Welshman, and we never threaten. We warn. But you either do or you don't. And we have plenty of folks, though, who will go to public meetings and threaten, and they never follow through. And that gets the public officials into the habit of thinking, well, if nobody sues, we can do what we want.
Yes. And I actually think it's very, even if it's not required, I believe it's ethical. You always give them the chance. You always say, I've never seen you do a public interest lawsuit without giving the government body a chance and really explaining, here's why we believe this is wrong. And those are the reasons that you eventually, generally what I've seen, is you were correct, you bring it to the court, and the court rules with you.
Well, and the other thing to think about is people go into public service wanting to do good things for their neighbors, wanting to do good things for their community, and they all take an oath to abide by and give breath to the U.S. Constitution and the Constitution of California. And so, you know, I think appealing to those basic instincts and desires is the right way to go. And sometimes you can persuade folks that they need to go in a slightly different course.
And one of the things, a few years ago, the city has taken another rush at trying to control rental units currently. They wanted to do a rental registry. But years ago, probably about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they pushed they wanted to require rental unit inspections. And you, along with, I think it was Dan Carpenter and Kevin Rice.
And Dan Knight.
And Dan Knight.
We put together a initiative, and I have to say, Kevin Rice really spent a lot of time on that, and he was one of the moving forces in it. And you know, I was able to help, I think, with some of the drafting and making sure that it complied with the rules.
And I think we have Kevin Rice joining us right now.
Hello, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Stu and Karen.
And thank you for calling in, Kevin. And what prompted you to push forward when you did this initiative? And this was the same thing that Paso did for our listeners. They went around, they believed this was wrong, and they went around and collected enough signatures to get it on the ballot. What prompted you to get involved, Kevin?
So in 2016, I was a renter with quite a good deal going in San Luis Obispo, and the city started passing ordinance and making moves to institute essentially forced rental inspections. And as a person who owns or rents a home, you don't have to let the police into your house. But the landlord has a right of entry, and they were using mechanisms to compel the landlords to allow the city in, which essentially then intrudes and brings police powers into the home of a renter, ostensibly to help me out, because they're going to make sure that the landlord's providing me safe, up to code, and all those things that they always say everything's terrible. Well, I was very happy with my situation, but it was an older home that had some issues, not safety issues, but some fundamental issues that would have cost the landlord big money and probably put me out of my house for a long period or forever had the landlord been forced to make those repairs. And I was also concerned about my privacy, because as a outspoken activist, often at odds with the city council, now I've got the city in my home looking at how I live and what belongings I might have as they're going through my closets to make sure my house is safe. So I was so concerned that I made contact with Mr. Jenkins and others, and we came up with a ordinance that prohibited forced inspections to protect my privacy and protect the rent, which was an extraordinary deal. Not every person in town is some victim of some onerous landlord. I was very happy with what I had going at that time. And so the petition succeeded, the election did not, but nevertheless, the movement and the voices that came forth, the city backed down from their forced rental inspection program. And so now I'm seeing 10 years later, they're sort of doing the same thing with creating a registry, and it won't necessarily be forced, or maybe it will at some point, but if they can incentivize landlords that, hey, if we find violations, we'll go really easy on you if you just self-register, or they get tenants to rat out the landlords. This is a rental. This one's a rental. Add it to the registry. Well, that's what they're building. They're building their surveillance and their list of people to go after. And, you know, if that turns into the landlord letting the city in, whether the tenant wants it or not, or vice versa, now you've got essentially police power inside your home. Some inspector that can take pictures, take notes, and sue. And you might be put out of your home. Your rent might triple if you've got such a deal going that the expense is going to be horrendous to the landlord, or vice versa.
Kevin is sticking to the issues, but he's not really giving himself the significant credit he deserves, because Kevin and the team that he put together to gather signatures obtained three times as many signatures as were needed to put the measure on the ballot to repeal this very intrusive Fourth Amendment violating inspection ordinance.
So that would have been about 30% of the voters in San Luis Obispo.
Yes.
Signed this?
So then the issue was also so significant that it caused a change in who got elected that year to the mayor's office, and basically changed the composition of the city council. And when all of those signatures were dropped on the desk of the clerk at town, just before a giant meeting of the city council that was held at the Vets Hall to discuss the ordinance, it was very clear that the public opposed this ordinance significantly. And what ended up happening was the city council itself repealed it, but then fought the initiative because the city staff wanted to have the opportunity later on, and many of those staff members are no longer there, but they wanted to have the opportunity later on to recreate that kind of an ordinance so as to inspect rentals, compelled inspections, and of course, I think the most important feature there was to raise revenue by charging landlords an annual fee for the right to come and inspect whether or not there was an inspection that year.
And I think that's often what happens is there is when these initiatives come out, very often the public is saying, wait a minute, what you're doing is going to grow government and provide money for government while harming the public. How did you go about getting the signatures, Kevin? How many people did you have doing it, and how did you go about collecting?
I used multiple, every method available to me. I did a massive mailing to voters. I sent them petitions in the mail with business reply envelopes. I collected an enormous number of signatures via that method, which was extraordinarily expensive. And then I used some paid gatherers who are professionals to do the thing at the market that everybody sees. And then there was a big network of motivated people who said, give me some copies and I'll go out and get signatures for you. So we ended up with close to 8,000 signatures, which, as Mr. Jenkins stated, was well over what we needed. We also accomplished something else. That year was the last year that Citizen Initiative had the right to force a special election. And it was done with 15% of the registered voters instead of the usual 10%. And we got the city to hold a special election because we obtained so many signatures, and that was satisfying. But unfortunately, Sacramento took that remedy away from the voters. Now initiative can only be voted on every 2 years instead of right away, and that's sad.
And I think the initiative would have passed had the city not, number one, spent quite a bit of money campaigning against the initiative, and also had they not repealed the offending law. Had the initiative been adopted, that would have meant the city could not come back and do such an ordinance without actually putting it before the voters before it went into effect.
So it did go to a special election, but the city had already repealed it.
Yeah.
And it didn't end up.
So their argument was we don't need it. We don't need the initiative to pass, folks, because we already repealed it. And oh, by the way, we promised never to bring it back. But of course, here we are, 10 years later.
And if you notice this, Kevin, who brought the new one back, who promoted it, the one that you fought was Jan Marks. Then she was mayor. Now as a councilwoman, she is the one pushing the rental registry.
There you go. And that was unfortunate that they dissuaded the voters with these false arguments, of course, in concert with certain local media forces that there's no need to vote yes anymore. We already repealed it, and the voters bought into that. Of course, they had unlimited advertising money, but had that passed, they would not be able to do what they're now angling to do again, because that initiative that we brought would have prevented it.
Well, and I'm not sure I have an accurate memory of this, Kevin, but my impression is that just the cost of the election, the special election, was something like $230,000 to put on.
The city has all kinds of funds to spend. I spent about $40,000 raising the signatures. And then, of course, I don't have the $100,000 or $200,000 just to spend on advertising that the city does under the guise of factual information.
Voter education, I think they call it, or outreach.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So that's the background, and that was 10 years ago. And right now they're just calling it voluntary registry, but we can see where this is building. And again, as I stated, they will convince people that it's in their best interest to register, either to avoid onerous fines and in exchange for some leniency, or under the guise of scaring tenants that we're going to protect you, and so go ahead and let our police forces into your home to have a look around.
Well, I think there's no question that there are some bad landlords here and there, and there are tenants who have rights that go unprotected because they don't know what their rights are, or they don't have the funds to fight for their rights in court. But what the city's doing is setting up, every 10 years we get a census person at our door, and they take a census to find out where people are living and, you know, what their lives are like. And you don't get charged a fee for talking to the census taker. There's every reason for a city to get a census of what the inventory of homeownership and rentalship is, because that can help them craft decent public policy. But it would be, instead of charging a fee for the privilege of having your census taken as to whether your piece of property is a rental or a single family home or a condominium that you happen to live in, the model is at odds, I think, with good government and good tax policy. So what there are ways to fund getting an inventory without charging the person who owns the property, probably in violation of Prop 218, probably in violation of the state constitution, and probably in violation of the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, because that is essentially an extraction of money as a condition of you being able to then rent out your piece of property.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Stu and Kevin Wright.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
Hello from the Groves on 41, where olive oil is our favorite subject.
Yes, and we are seeing an increasing awareness of the health benefits of olive oil, not just for your heart, but your brain and your skin, too. I'm drinking it. Consuming more olive oil is easy with our crazy flavors, like cinnamon, raspberry, rosemary, and more. You could have olive oil for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert.
Schedule a tasting and tour at the Groves on 41, or visit us at a farmer's market Saturday mornings in Templeton, Tuesday mornings in Paso, and want to learn more? Go to thegrovesonforty1.com.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecue tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. Today I have attorney Stu Jenkins as my guest, and we have Kevin Rice. Kevin Rice, I believe you have left the area now, but you were one of the most prominent activists I think this county has ever seen, and your work would actually change elections. And when Kevin Rice went after the inspection program through an initiative in the city of SLO, it ended up costing Jan Marks the election, and Heidi Harmon was elected by a slim majority. Do you remember? She lasted a while, and then she ended up leaving with the downfall of Adam Hill.
I believe it was around 45 votes.
Whoa. And you know, there were issues that Jan had, having pushed through that rental inspection program, but Heidi did end up being a disaster for the city of San Luis Obispo.
I totally agree. But you'll recall Heidi was initially supportive of the repeal and the petition itself.
She was.
And then she turned against it as she got steeped in the staff's opinions and the, you know, other politics. And yes, she ended up being a disaster. I think Jan is much more shrewd and competent, but unfortunately, Jan's policies frighten me and turn me off, and I've often opposed.
I had heard a report from, and I don't remember the source, that Katie Lichtig at the time of Ms. Harmon's election said, you know, give me 2 months, I'll have her whipped into shape, or something to that effect. And I'm afraid that what does happen is people get into these offices, they think that they have a significant amount of power and that they can make change, and pretty soon all of their initiative is beaten out of them by advice given by, say, a city manager and or a city attorney on what they can't do. And frequently, folks don't go out and get their own advice. There's plenty of legal advice out there about what the government code provides and what the state constitution and the national constitution provide. But that tends to be a problem, I think, in our current municipal corporation form of government.
I 100% agree. City council members, especially when they're new, they're scared by the attorneys and the city managers telling them everything's illegal. And they soon gain tight relationships with the city manager. And they don't realize they were elected to represent the people. Yet they sit on the dais and they say, we need to do this and we need to do that. We meaning the city. And they forget that when they say we, it should mean the people. So they switch sides.
Absolutely. One of the problems also, I was interviewing a city councilwoman from Paso, and she literally told me that the city manager was the best boss she'd ever had. And I thought, you don't work for the city manager. You're there to make sure. They're the checks and balances. They're there to make sure that government is acting appropriately. They do not work for the city manager, but this person absolutely thought that that was her boss.
That's 100% par for the course. And I thank you for your compliments earlier. But what it really shows is if people just got involved and educated themselves, they can make huge differences. And instead, there's just so much apathy or perhaps just frustration and hands in the air because our lives are busy enough that the city tends to always get its way. The county, the whatever government agency, there's just not enough people to bring opposition and bring it tactfully with the law on their side.
In Paso Robles, they did a similar thing that you did. They went out and they wanted the paid parking to go away. The idea was it'll make money someday by tickets and we'll have more policemen. But the stores were saying people won't come downtown anymore and it's costing us you're going to lose in sales tax revenue. The public got the signatures and the public fought to have it put in, while the city council and the city manager fought tooth and nail, even getting aggressive against those that were collecting signatures, those that were pushing the paid parking program here, were ostracized by government.
That's a huge accomplishment. Collecting those signatures in a city the size of Paso Robles is just extraordinary, the amount of work. But if you have the merchants and their storefronts and the petitions sitting on the counters, you get the right issue and you can get those signatures. Other times it feels like you're by yourself and you're never going to get the thousands of signatures you need.
Hey, Kevin, we're going to take our top of the hour break. I thank you very much for calling in. And I think you are greatly missed in this community.
Good to talk to you, Kevin.
And we will, as well.
We will be back after our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.